You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras, the number one podcast for bow hunting product information and hunting stories from across the nation. And now, here's your nine-fingered host, Dan Johnson.
In case you haven't figured it out, my friends, it is Friday, and that means it's time for another Nine Finger Chronicles podcast brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. Hopefully everybody's had a great week, and we're going to wind this week down with a product review podcast with our good friend Tom Waters from Kentucky. Tom made the decision to upgrade some of his hunting clothing and hunting gear along with another it's an app, Onyx Maps, and he is going to talk today about those purchases, whether or not he likes them, how he used them, why he decided to get those products, and it's just a good old-fashioned product review podcast. We haven't done one of these in a while, and Tom emailed me, and I'm like, let's do it, man. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, I just some really quick housekeeping and announcements, I guess, that need to be done. If you are the kind of guy who likes to listen to Western big game hunting podcasts, along with basically finding out information, we have a ton of great information. So if you're listening to this right now, you guys all need to make sure you go and search Sportsman's Nation Big Game Western Hunting wherever you're downloading your podcast. So if you're listening to this one, there is a whole completely new podcast that is the Big Game Western feed, and right now there's three podcasts on there that are up and running, and we have Son Outdoors, we have the Hardworking Hunter, and we also have the Transition Wild podcast on there as well. And that feed is going to grow. I mean, I'm looking for more Western hunting podcasts to add to the network there. So what we have then is Whitetails are on one podcast. You're listening to that one right now. And then we're going to have the Sportsman's Nation Big Game Western Hunting podcast. And then hopefully by the end of the summer, we can add waterfowl, potentially even fishing, depending on how things go and the growth of the network. So that's the goal anyway. So be sure to go and subscribe to the Big Game Western Hunting feed for the Sportsman's Nation. And all you have to do is, you know, search Sportsman's Nation Big Game, and it should pop up. So subscribe to that one as well. I'm trying to think, if you haven't already, dude, there's a lot of good conversation that goes on the social media pages, whether it's Facebook or whether it's Instagram. We do a lot of sharing of ideas and content, and, you know, basically sharing each other's opinions on, sometimes it's strategy, sometimes it's ethics, just a ton of good conversation that goes on the Nine Finger Chronicles and the Sportsman's Nation Instagram and Facebook pages. So make sure you guys are following all of the social media, including some of the other podcasts as well, like Southern Ground or Transition Wild, or let's see, Land and Legacy, and the DIY Sportsman's podcast. So make sure you're following all of those places as well. And I'm telling you, guys, the Sportsman's Nation is a one-stop shop for a ton of great podcasts and a ton of great content. And hopefully here pretty soon we're going to be adding a blog as well. So there's going to be written content coming as well. And the sky is the limit, my friend. So just I don't know. Keep an eye out here and on Facebook and Instagram. And you shouldn't, if you follow all those places, you shouldn't miss out. Other than that, before we get into this product review podcast with old Tom Waters from Kentucky, I do want to say, and I have this piece of paper that's in front of me, and I got to figure out what company I have to look at today. So let's see. Ripcord Aero Rests. Ripcord Aero Rests. I tell you, it is a very high quality drop away rest. They have limb driven and string driven systems. So it's definitely something if you're a serious, like Keith, the owner of the company, says, it is a hunting rest designed by bow hunters for bow hunters. So it's an American made product, and it's a badass overall piece of equipment put out by a badass company and badass people who work for that company as well. So, and it's veteran owned, and Keith is a veteran as well. So definitely a whole bunch of benefits to buying a Ripcord Aero-Rest, and it's a high quality product as well. So make sure you guys go to ripcordaerorest.com and you will be able to check out all the products that they offer. It's not gonna lie, it's a really kick-ass product, and it's I often talk about brand loyalty on social media, and definitely a brand that I am loyal to. So go check out Ripcord Aero Rests. Other than that, I've talked for way too long. Let's get the party started with Tom Waters about product reviews from Onyx Maps and Sitka. All right, everyone, on the phone with me today, I don't even know, man, how many times have you been on the podcast now? Like four?
This is the fourth time, believe it or not.
Fourth. Okay. You've been on to tell a couple stories. You've been on to do some gear reviews. And actually, that's what we're going to do today is some more gear reviews, because you made a couple big purchases this year. You cleaned house and you went all new on some Sitka gear. And then where I want to start off today is with some Onyx Maps. It's something that I've heard people talk about, but it's something that I've never used. I've never jumped to use. So, but before we get to all that, right? You know, all that hunting gear is fun to talk about, but how's life, man?
Oh, it's great. Cannot complain. Really excited about some trips coming up that aren't just hunting. We've got a trip the wife and I are going on a couple of weeks up to Alaska in May.
Wow.
And never been there before, so obviously that's gonna whet the desire to do some hunting up there, but we're really excited about that. And in the part of the season where you're doing a little bit of scouting, a little bit of looking for permission, and getting ready to look forward to putting out some minerals and get some cameras out.
Right. Now, Kentucky, right? That's where you're from.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's the turkey situation like there in Kentucky?
The turkey situation here is amazing. That's not my experience. That's everyone else's. I have just started turkey hunting last few years, and I have yet to get one, but I am crossing my fingers this year. I don't have as much access to land for turkey as I do for deer. At least the places where I hunt deer, I don't have as much turkey there. But I'm definitely trying to get off the goose egg this year.
Right. And that's something that in the past, like for our turkey season in Iowa, I use all my vacation for either family. Like this year, my vacation is going to elk, whitetail, and family. So I take one day off during the turkey season to go hunt, and it's with my wife. So I pretty much am just calling for her to try to get her a bird. But
right.
Like it's a secondary animal. It's just like the only reason I turkey hunt is because I can't deer hunt.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a chance to get out there for me. And you know, it's just great after not having anything to hunt for a while to be able to be out in the woods.
Right. Absolutely. And then if you're lucky for us, I don't know about you, but if we're lucky, and this is almost just as exciting as turkey hunting, but if we're lucky, the mushrooms are popping too. So
oh yeah,
we do a little turkey hunting and then we'll look for mushrooms. Like last year was awesome because I remember in our afternoon hunts, we're walking to the turkey blind or walking to set up on a turkey, and I'm walking through all these mushroom patches and I'm just like, oh, okay,
wow.
Let me go try to get this turkey. You know, it would either come in or it wouldn't, and then we'd go back and we'd pick mushrooms. So,
oh yeah, up here, especially like southern Indiana, which, you know, is just, you can almost throw a rock from Louisville where I live to across the river. I think there's more poaching for mushrooms than there is for deer or turkey. I mean, it's nuts up there.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
Right. I remember going to take my trail cameras down one year in somewhere around mid-April, depending on, you know, what the temperatures are, because I think a lot of it has to do with soil temperature when they start to grow. But I just remember seeing tons of people on my trail cameras with like 5-gallon buckets. And I couldn't see what was in them, but I was like, okay, they're mushroom hunting.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, that's a huge thing here too.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I eat so many of them in a 3 or 4 week period that holds me over till the rest of the year
Oh yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's there for just a bit. And by the time it's over, if you've been lucky, like sounds like you guys are, you get your fill pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to talk about gear, man?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So I want to start off with Onyx maps, right? And the reason that I want to start there is because everybody I know is like, dude, I got Onyx maps, you know, you got to get Onyx maps. And I've heard good things about them. And I've even seen like little demos about Onyx maps, but I myself have never tried them. I'm interested in it, but why don't you just tell us, if for those who don't know, what is Onyx maps?
Well, it's an app that you'll purchase that you use primarily with your phone and your GPS function of your phone. It has quite a bit of information on it that others don't. My genesis of using it this year was I was always a Scoutlook guy, and I still do use the Scoutlook app because I've got a ton of history in there. But Onyx, what's really nice about that to me versus the Scoutlook, now the Scoutlook's free, you have to pay a little bit, but Onyx has the big function that really got me onto it was the property owners. It lists, as you're looking at it, you can put overlaid information of property owners. You can click on that and the information as far as who owns that piece of property will come up. Now that's per state, so you buy it on a per state license. So it's, I think there's a function, I didn't buy it because I don't hunt in that many different states where I need that. I think there's a function where you can get the entire country for maybe 100 a year, and I think it was around 20 for the for just the Kentucky one.
Okay. And is that, so it's $20 a year gets you that service, or is it $20 as a one-time purchase?
I believe it's one time.
Okay.
I haven't had to renew it yet, so I've only had a year. So if I'm telling tales there, I apologize, but I think it's just a one-time cost.
Okay. So then before, you know, you said you were using Scoutlook, but what's the benefit of having, an app like this? How did you personally use it?
Yeah, well, the benefit for me was listening to you and Mark and knowing myself that the key for me is getting some more permission in other places. And granted, there are some states where there's the website where you can go and find out who owns what particular property. But it's just a lot easier if you're out cruising around and, you know, it's in the summertime and you're just riding around looking for deer and you see an area, you know, going back and finding that on the map and everything and then going to pay in most cases around here to find out who the owner is, for getting those maps that show ownership. This thing, you're just right there and you can look it up in that second, go ahead and, you know, just do a screenshot, save that. And then later on you can go and contact that owner. And you can see who owns property next to properties that you already have permission to. So maybe you can expand off that. And I'm doing a little bit of public land too. And one of the nice things about it is you can go in and there's cross hatching, you know, where you can select an overlay over the map of, I just want to see public land, Well, it'll show all of the public land in the entire state. And you can go in areas, and there's little pockets of stuff that may be public land that aren't really WMAs, which is, that's what we call most of our public land here in Kentucky, is wildlife management areas, WMAs. But there's some areas that aren't WMAs that are public. So you have an opportunity to go hunt there possibly. And those are things you wouldn't know with a free app.
Okay. So you were able to do a lot of, I mean, did you find yourself just kind of flipping through the map, flipping through the app, looking at some of the locations that you were interested in previously, but never like did any research on? So, I mean, was it a great research tool for where you wanted to go ask permission to hunt?
Absolutely. And I'm going to continue doing it. I already got permission to one really nice place that's close to my house. It's about 30 acres. It's not quite suburban, but it's close to suburban hunting. And I found the people that own it and got in contact with the guy and was able to get permission on it. And I don't think I would have gotten it without the app.
Okay.
I mean, that made it a lot easier to find that. Plus, you know, now I'm kind of emboldened by it, right? I mean, I've had that success with that. I'm going to try to do more. So it's one of those things that makes it easier to do what you need to do, which is the hard part of going and knocking on doors. I mean, not everybody in these areas lives on the property that you want to hunt on. You know, in fact, there's a lot of cases where they don't. So you've got to be able to find that owner in a way that's outside of just looking to see if there's a house on or near that property you're looking to hunt on.
Right. And as we all know, just because there's a house up front of the property doesn't mean that that's the landowner these days. So,
exactly.
I mean, I remember
more often than not around here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, same thing for Iowa. You know, 15 years ago, I could knock on the door of a farm and I could just be like, hey, can I go hunt back there? And they would say, yeah, sure. That's my property. But now as the older generation starts to, you know, God forbid me saying this, but, you know, move on, whether that's to a nursing home, you know, houses get sold, but the landowner is still the same. The house is owned by someone else. So I knock on the door and they're like, no, we don't own that. Do you know who owns that?
Yeah.
No, we don't know who owns that, you know, or yeah, they live in a different state or yeah, they live in town or whatever. So you got to do some additional research, which this sounds like it is, it would just be, it's like a great tool.
It really is. I mean, if I got one piece of property that I know there's a ton of deer on that I've been wanting to hunt, and now I've been able to track down who owns it and have been able to get permission for it. So, I mean, if I never get anything else out of the thing, I mean, it more than paid for itself in my mind by having access there. And I think I'll be able to find more places. One thing I hope that they do, or there may be a database out there that I want to try to leverage that information with, is what if this person owns more than one piece?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you've got permission from a guy, I mean, he may, you know, they may have property, not just that one, but maybe some others, and, you know, find that out and, you know, just get as many opportunities as you can out of each introduction.
Right. Absolutely. Now, is this something that you have to have mobile data to use, or can you just have your GPS on?
Yeah, you can it has a function where you do not have to have coverage to be able to utilize the map. Now, what you do is you save the map, right? Save that area. And, you know, it doesn't, I mean, if you've got a decent, a relatively new phone, that's not going to be an issue. It doesn't take up that much space. So, like, if you're at an area where you're going to be out of, and I did this out at Fort Knox when I hunt public land out there. I would download the area, because you have to go into pre-assigned areas at that particular place when you hunt. And so I would do that, because some of those places down there, there's really not much coverage. So, no, you do not have to have coverage to be able to utilize it. And it'll track you and let you know, that you're in the right place, where you're not walking where you're not supposed to be. And there's no dispute there if you come across somebody that's not where they're supposed to be.
Okay. So does it do anything, is there any functionality where it lets you track like an access route where, it allows you to drop pins or, it tracks the line that you've walked?
All of those things. All of those things. It's very much like the old, Google Maps that they used to have. I mean, you can track, you can drop pins, you can record your trip, you know, where it'll show you coming in and coming out. You can put a waypoint and then come back to it, like, you know, drop a pin where your car is if you're doing, you know, if you're out someplace, or your truck rather, where you're hunting, and you want to make sure you're able to get back there at night, or vice versa. You know, if you've already if you've already scouted out a place where you want to drop where you want to hang, do a hanging hunt, when you've been scouting in the summertime, drop your pin there, and then you can navigate straight to that with the app.
Okay. So then,
or you could even, instead of straight, you can, you know, do that tracking piece.
Yeah.
Is really probably the smarter idea, and then go back and follow that back in that same route. So you're not doing a straight line. You're doing a way that, you know, you're not going to disturb as much if it's a, you know, creek bottom or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Then, so you're able to not only see the property owners, or whether it's public or private land, to be honest with you, as we were talking just now, I signed up for the 7-day free trial period. So
smart. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Just so I can, you know, be there with you. It looks like, so, and you can turn some of these functions on and off. So let's say like, Iowa public lands. I selected Iowa because that's where I live. So Iowa public lands, I can shut it on or off. And that'd be great for, you know, it looks like they have functions like Iowa non-resident deer zones. So I can click that function on, and it shows me as a non-resident where all of the zones are for deer hunting. So if I'm, you know, I'm out of state and I want to do some scouting, I know where the borders are and where I can look for either public lands or private lands, or what specific areas I want to. Yeah. So that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Cause I've got two preference points away from being out there knocking on your door looking for some places to hunt. So that's good that it has that functionality, because I'm thinking you're going to push me on the on the public anyway. So it's all good.
Hey, it's not the, you're not the first guy that's asked me. I'll put it to you that way.
I understand. Yeah, I'll figure out if Kenyon isn't getting any help, I'm not going to have much luck either.
All right. So let's see here. So it allows you to do just a ton of things. Is this something that you feel like you could use every single year?
Yeah, I think so. The topo map's really good. The quality of the pictures, for lack of a better term, the satellite imagery is really good. The detail is great, and I really used it more. I used it for two things. Obviously, number one, I'm using it to try to gain access, but actually out in the field, it's a big, big help if you're in an area you haven't been before, or you don't know as well, like public, or a new place that you're hunting. It just has such fine detail that, I found it to be better than Scout Look. It probably has even more, functionality that I'm not really using yet, that I'll probably get better at this year. But I've really been impressed with it. And like I say, I mean, if you get any hunting commission out of it at all, it more than pays for itself.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just completely playing around with it right now. And not only is it good for hunting, but if you're like a guy who likes to backpack and hike and do a whole bunch of things, it's shown, like, I went to Glacier. I'm on the map right now, and I'm going to Glacier National Park, and it has all the trails marked out there to where a guy can hike. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I'll be using it. I'll get back with you. I'm going to take it. Obviously it's on the phone, but when we go to Alaska, we're going to be doing quite a bit of stuff like that. So I'll give you a report on what it's like.
Awesome.
Utilizing that up there. Cause if it's got that's a lot more usage than I even anticipated being able to get out of it.
Right. And I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds like, you know, you can look for trailheads, or you can look for, and I don't know, like, this is something I'm definitely going to play around with, because as I start to explore the West, right? Like, I'm going to Colorado this year. I'm going to be heading to Wyoming at some point, probably back to Idaho, Utah at some point. I'll be taking a look at this in more depth. You know, I mean, I'm scrolling through here, and it even, for an extra fee, you can buy Boone and Crockett Trophy Big Game Records. So, so if you're a big antler trophy hunter, it's going to show you where everything's at as far as large animals are concerned. And then it can say, I want to shoot a Boone and Crockett elk. Okay, well, I need to apply for these points, and I'm going to research this area. And, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, there's always some good specials, a lot like the things you have with your with the people that, you know, sponsor you. There's a lot of good specials out there. So before anybody gets ready to pull the trigger on it, if you're listening to the Usual Suspects on the different podcasts, there's always some specials to save a little bit of money when you buy it too.
Right. Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, cool, man. Well, Onyx Maps, you got me intrigued. Might be something I might have to look into. And I already know what you're going to say, but is this something that you recommend for all hunters?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think there's an application that everybody wouldn't be able to get something out of this thing to some degree. I mean, you've just found some stuff I wasn't even aware of, and I've used it for a season. So no, I think it's something I definitely recommend to people.
Cool.
And like you said, with the 7 days, I mean, get in there, play around with it, and see what you can do with it.
All right. Now, Sitka gear, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's what the main topic was supposed to be about today, but I wanted to add in Onyx, but Sitka, right?
Sure.
So you went all in on Sitka this year, right?
Yes, I did. Okay. I did.
All right. So I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about leading up into that where you make a decision, because Sitka gear is not cheap. It's a big investment, and for someone to kind of scrap all their other gear and go all in on something like that probably wasn't cheap. And
not at all.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, so first off, what were you wearing before Sitka gear that made you say, okay, enough's enough, or maybe it wasn't enough, or maybe you just like gear or whatever, but what made you, you know, what gear were you wearing, and why did you start thinking, like, this isn't good enough, I need to try something else?
So, for the longest time, I started out with using a lot of the Cabela's, the Wultimate, Berber, wind shear protected stuff.
Okay.
And it was really good. I mean, I hunt from anywhere from September 1st is when we start here this year in Kentucky, all the way through Martin Luther King Day, middle of January. So we get all kinds of weather, and I hunt throughout the entire season. So that stuff was really great at cold weather. It was quiet. And then I'd have other things. And I kind of started morphing into the Scentlock gear. And Scentlock is less of a camo company as it is a process, as you're probably aware of. And it's more of, you know, we think we can stop all of your scent, but the quality of stuff really wasn't what I was looking for.
Okay.
Things would be bulky, things would be warm, but they'd be too bulky. The quiet, how it was fitted wasn't really that great, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal until I started really listening a lot to you guys, to Mark on a Wired to Hunt, and you there, and then some other people that I listened to, and everybody was talking about the Sitka stuff. And I went and tried some on, and I was like, it's just night and day. So I looked at it, and I'm like, look, I'm gonna make the commitment to this. I'm going to try to do it smart, because, as you said, it's not cheap. And I've got a few techniques for being able to get the stuff at a little bit less than full retail that I'll be happy to pass along. But it is a commitment.
Right.
It's not cheap, but the stuff's great. But that's how I started. I started off with just Cabela stuff and then the Scentlock, and just found that it really wasn't gear. It was just clothes.
Yeah. So was it because you, like, when you were out in the stand or out in the timber and you're sitting there and you started getting cold? I mean, was it a warmth issue during the mid to late season hunts? Was it moisture wicking? What was it? You know, because for me,
yeah,
I'm kind of a firm believer in, if you're hunting in the right spot and you're not doing jumping jacks in your tree stand, camo pattern isn't necessarily a make or break deal. Like, for me anyway, that's different. That's completely different if you're on the ground, maybe doing some spot and stalk hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But did you feel like it was a camo, or was it a comfortability? Like, was it comfortable?
Oh, great. Yeah, great point. And I'm, you and I are on the same page. You know, whether or not you can see a leaf or a twig on the camo you're looking at, you know, deer don't see that way. I mean, the rods and cones issue that's, you know, been beat to death, they don't see the detail in camo that we do. So I'm with you. I think being still is the best camo out there. If it's breaking up a pattern, then that's what it needs to do. And I think they all can do that. But for me, it was more about the actual function of the gear. Am I getting out in the stand in September and am I just, soaked in sweat by the time I get out there? Do I dry off? To your point, does it wick off okay? If it's in the mid-season, how's the layering system work? I mean, sure, I might be comfortable when I get in there, but if I'm sweaty and I can't get cooled off, or if it's bulky, if it's not fitted in the right way, and then how is it designed for just function? You know, are there places for grunt tubes? Are there places that they think of as, you know, some of the things they do with the hand muffs that are built into the bibs and are built into the actual jacket? I mean, there's just so much thought that goes into their product versus, you know, just throwing something on and, you know, taking it off if you're hot and putting it on if you're cold.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between a used old car and a Ferrari. I mean, there's a reason it costs more, and when you utilize it, you recognize that.
Right, right. So I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second with you.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to use your analogy, a used car versus a Ferrari. Now, a Ferrari may be awesome, but it may not be functional. Like, if I'm looking to haul hay, I'm not going to buy a Ferrari. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
My truck is going to do all right. So I guess, I mean, for a lot of people, they look at something and it's price. It has to be price driven just because of their life budget, right?
Sure, and absolutely.
So what made you just kind of go all in at one big expense as opposed to buying a little bit here, a little bit there, and slowly adding up to your full, I guess, outfit?
Yeah. Well, and I did it over a year.
Oh, okay.
I did it piece by piece over a year, primarily during the off season. And then I had my early season, system in place in the summer, and then I had my mid season in place by the season start. So, I mean, I was right ahead of the curve the whole way, but it was over a year that I put all of it together.
Okay.
But it still was a chunk of change over a year, and it required quite a bit of looking for sales and finding the places where you can get, you know, the good prices on this stuff. Because overall, and just to give the listeners an idea, and then you tell me if this is in line with what your perception is, I would say that piece per piece, Sitka is anywhere from 50% to 100% more than the same thing in a regular camo.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say that's close to your experience?
Yeah, it's close. If not, maybe a little bit more.
In some pieces, it definitely, like the Fanatics, the late season stuff is really expensive. I mean, you're talking right. $350, $400 for the jacket and same for the bibs.
Right. So you were looking for deals when you,
yep,
over this year. Where did you find those deals at?
A number of places. Some of the ones that I know, I think you've talked about before, Camo Fire is a discount group that sells one-off things. They're not just one particular areas, but they'll have Sitka probably every couple of weeks. They'll have a different piece of Sitka gear. You can get on their email list and you get a daily email from them, and they'll have a few items. For example, I got the rain jacket and their downpour series for 50% off.
Yeah.
I just got that. In fact, they got that. That was one of the last pieces I got. So I got that for 50% off. Another great place is Mountain Archery.
Okay.
And they handle a ton of Sitka stuff. They have all the stuff, and it's not always on sale. But if you really focus in January and February, you'll find a number of times this stuff at 20%, 25%, 30% off. of the retail. And that's, you don't get that a lot with Sitka. I mean, you really have to be diligent to find that. The other thing that you can find is on eBay. You can get them brand new with tags on them sometimes for 20-25% off. And sometimes you'll get them from an individual that bought them and they're, you know, next to new. Maybe the tags are off, but I mean, it's in good condition. And you've got a guy on eBay that's got a lot of positive reviews, you know, and you can get stuff for 40 or 50% off there.
Right.
Now, all the stuff I bought was new, but I did see deals like that out there as well.
Right. Right. So you were diligent in the fact that you were really looking for deals so you didn't have to pay full retail price.
Yeah. And I didn't pay full retail on anything that I bought.
Okay. All right. Was this off season when you were buying this stuff too, like in the summertime, or when did you seem to buy the products where it had the biggest discount? What time of year?
Yeah. The biggest discount was right after season. February seems to be, February and March seem to be the biggest discounts last year. Okay. And I've been watching it this year too. There's really nothing else I want, but I just kind of keep up with what the new stuff is that's out there.
Yeah.
But it seems like this time of year is the best time. You'll also see times like Cabela's had some deals where they'll run some stuff on sale. And obviously, you know, if you've got points, you can, which I basically use my Cabela's card for everything and pay it off every month. So I run points on it so I could leverage those towards purchases when they had Sitka stuff on sale.
Yeah. Okay. And so overall, how much money did you spend this last year on Sitka?
I'd say a little bit, just a little bit north of $2,000.
Okay. So what all, can you remember what pieces you purchased?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In anticipation of our conversation, I made sure I had it all.
Good, good, good.
So basically what I have, and I'll just do it by the seasons because they, you know, they have their packages as far as early, late, mid season. So, I've got the, on the early season, I've got the, light hoodie, the gator, the hoodie has a mask with it as well.
Yep.
The Equinox pants. And, you know, I'm hunting in 80, 85 degree weather a lot of times, either down in Texas or up here at the first part of the season. That stuff is perfect for them. It's so light. If you're sweating, it wicks away immediately.
Okay.
And then also the Fanatic gloves, and they're real thin gloves, and I use them all year round because of the muffs that they have.
Yeah.
And then on the mid-season, I've got the Fanatic Light hoodie, I have the Fanatic Light bibs, the Fanatic Light jacket, and the beanie and the cap that goes with that as well.
Gotcha. Okay.
And those things are great, the bibs, because they have the zippers up and down the legs. So when you're walking into the stand, you can open those things up to keep you from burning up and just, you know, pack your jacket in.
Yeah.
But that makes a big, big difference. I think that's one of the best functions that they have on those bibs.
Okay. And that was it.
And then on the late season, I've got the neck gator. I've got the Stratus beanie, which is really thick, the Fanatic bibs, the Fanatic jacket, also the Shacket, which is a really cool thing. I've heard you and Mark talk about that one. That's a really neat piece. You can use it in the mid part of the year if you want to, or use it as just another layer. And basically it's like a vest. I mean, I know you know this, but people listening, it's like a vest that also has arms, so it covers up your armpits and goes down to your mid bicep.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice piece, especially, you know, all this stuff is great for bow hunting. I mean, that's all I do is bow, and it makes such a difference because the stuff is really fitted well.
Yeah.
And when you're in the stand, you know, all these other things too, we're talking about the hoodies, and I'm sure you're aware of this. They're really long. So, you know, you're sitting there, but they're not going to ride up on you. And the pants are cut where they fit right, but when you're sitting, they're still really comfortable. I mean, they cut these things to be comfortable in the stand, which, you know, I don't think everybody puts that kind of detail into their clothing the way Sitka does.
Right, right. So taking a step back here with the Cabela's stuff and the other camo that you were wearing, what was it about that, I guess, was it just not doing the trick for you?
Well, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as this. And if you're doing all day sits, I mean, the longer you're out there, for me, the more that gear, all the gear, not just your camo, but all the gear really matters. The comfort level that you have with it, the ability to go in and out of, you know, different layers and be comfortable throughout that process. I think they design these layers and they design these things to be more comfortable on the stand than anything else I've worn. Now, I haven't done any of the First Light or the other stuff that's comparable to this, but I don't have a time when I'm out there wearing this stuff this last year where I wasn't glad that I'd spent the money. I mean, I could tell that I was much more comfortable. I was much more equipped. I was more confident based upon just knowing that I was going to be able to sit there all day and my gear wasn't going to be an issue.
Okay. So did it perform well for you this year after you purchased it and you wore it? Was it, mm-hmm. I mean, did it make the grade?
I did. I didn't feel bad about any of it. I was happy that I did it. The only, you know, there's a couple little things on it that, on the late season wear, the Fanatic, it's kind of a Berber. It is a Berber exterior. It's real pilly.
Yeah.
And the only negative I've had with it is when you're going through, you know, the woods, it'll pick up everything. And I mean, it picks it all up. So, I mean, it's a pain in the butt to get everything off of it. In fact, at some point you just kind of say, well, that's enough.
Right.
The stuff's made to be worn outside. I mean, it's not like you're going to a fashion show or anything. So right. If that bothers you, that's going to happen. But beyond that, it performed great. It was amazing to me how the products could be so warm yet not be too hot. Everything else that I'd had late season would be a bulky and puffy. And then on top of it, it just was effective at a really cold temperature. You couldn't really morph it from a 30 or 40 degree swing during the day, which isn't, you know, unusual to have that much of a swing of temperature from on an all day sit. Right.
Right.
But this stuff, you could manage the heat that you had, obviously by layers or by, like I was talking about with the zippers, you know, open them up, close them up, whether you're hot or cold. I really felt like I was able to manage how I felt temperature wise. And I mean, I'm kind of like you. I mean, I'm not a complete baby about it, but I don't want to get cold. I do not want to get cold. That'll mess me up more than anything. And I did not have one time, and I hunted down to, you know, 10 degrees with a wind of probably 15, 20 miles an hour with all the stuff on, didn't get cold. And more importantly, I was able to draw back. You know, because I mean, I've got all this stuff on. I mean, anybody can get warm. I mean, you can get warm in anything, but are you going to be able to function in the tree?
Right.
And I think that's really what kind of sets Sitka apart from other camo that I've worn in that scenario is, yes, you can be warm, and yes, you can still do what you need to do with your bow.
Right. Did you look at any other brands before you ended up purchasing Sitka?
I didn't, other than, you know, the usual suspects. I never looked at their main competitor, which I guess is First Light. And what's the other? Is there another one? Kafuro?
Kuyu.
Kuyu. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. I did not look at Kuyu, and I've heard good things about them. But I thought it was more of a Western company,
yeah,
a Western hunting type company. And I, you know, honestly, I trust, the guys I listen to, and there's been a number of people that have used it, other friends I've known that have used it and have been really happy with it. So I was going to make that commitment because I knew that I'd be happy with it. I mean, I tried this stuff on. I'm like, you know what? This is what I want to do, and I just want to try to do it smart.
Gotcha. So do you plan on picking up any additional pieces before next season?
I really don't. I mean, I have everything that I need. I went through a whole season this year hunting anywhere from, you know, 85 degrees down to 10, and I don't need anything else. I know that they have come out, they've been Sitka, with a new early season setup that they were talking about at the trade shows, but I can't imagine that it, I mean, I, if I'm okay in 85 degrees with the Equinox pant and the light hoodie, I think I'm just going to stay with that. I couldn't imagine being any more comfortable than that. And, you know, the other thing is when you make this, or at least for me, I mean, I've made this commitment, this is going to last me, you know, because I'm not going to go spend that kind of money again. I mean, I'm done. Yeah. And I've got everything that I need. I'm comfortable with the choices, and I'm comfortable that I was able to do it, not cheap, but a lot cheaper than just, you know, getting out the checkbook and going crazy. I mean, I shopped and I was able to save quite a bit of money to get it done.
Right. How much money do you think you saved by doing it your way and looking at all the discounts and waiting for, you know, specific discounts and whatnot?
Oh, at least $900.
Okay.
I mean, there was just on that downpour jacket, I saved 180.
Gotcha.
By getting it for 50%. So yeah, I mean, it's easy to, just take your time and you can get good deals. I mean, there's some stuff I only got probably 10 or 15% off, but when you can get a chunk off of the big things, you know, it makes a huge difference.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Well, so I take it, you know, Sitka, I mean, are you going to would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I've hunted in it 1 year, and I can tell you that there's no comparison between it and other, you know, name brand or run of the mill camos that I've worn. The gear aspect of it, you just feel like you're in something that's designed for that versus just, you know, something that's got a print on it.
Right. Right. So then the last thing I want to ask you is, you know, obviously price is important to some people. Is there a particular product that you've purchased that you would recommend to start off with?
Yeah, I would say that the hoodie is really functional. It's something that you can utilize as a base layer or over the top of existing camo.
Yeah.
And I'm a big bib guy. I like bibs. I think they're very flexible. So maybe I would start with trying to find the Fanatic Light, and that's the mid-season bibs, because, you know, you can throw on, I think you and I both are big merino wool guys.
Yep.
You can put wool on underneath that and deal with probably about 25 degrees.
Okay.
Down to that level. So bibs are really functional and are versatile. So I would maybe do the hoodie and the bib. And then if you want to throw another layer on there, maybe the shacket, and build out from there and just get little bits here and there, whatever your budget, you know, works for you, drive it that way. But I think if you get started on it, if you start using some of it, you're really going to just see the difference in the quality and the difference in when you're wearing that stuff or something similar to that versus the run-of-the-mill stuff.
All right. Well, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this info with us today, Onyx Maps, about Onyx and Sitka. And, you know, I'm not going to say goodbye because I'm sure you're going to be on again.
I'll look forward to it, Dan. I appreciate that.
Well, there you have it, my friends. Another week of podcasts in the books. Huge shout out to Tom for coming on the podcast and sharing his thoughts and views on those particular products. Huge shout out to all of you for taking time to listen to this podcast. I tell you, next week is going to be one hell of a week of podcasts as well, because we have part two of the, I guess we'll call it the Czar Report with Justin Czar. We talk about hunting specific deer. We also have a really cool interview with Jeff Lindsay with The Lindsay Way, the television show. He stops on the podcast and talks about donuts and how he was raised hunting. And then I don't know what we have after that, but that's just kick ass, man. Just great content coming down the pipe, entertaining and educational all at the same time. And I tell you what, I love doing this. Hopefully you guys love listening. If you haven't already, make sure you guys go to iTunes, leave a review, or leave a review wherever you download or listen to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network and the Nine Finger Chronicles. Huge shout out to all the partners of this podcast: Exodus, Lone Wolf, Ozonix, Gearhead, Wasp, Ripcord Arrests, and Bighorn Outfitters. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Guys, I think that's it.
hopefully everybody has a great weekend. It is Easter weekend, so please remember what is important, and that is family. Family, family, family is everything, so try to spend as much time with the family as humanly possible. And I'm done talking. So if you're going to be in a tree, please wear your damn safety harness. Have a good weekend.